Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today is part three, the final episode in James's story. Parts one and two were the last two episodes, and we're going to pick it up this time just before where we left off with the last episode. So here we go, part three with James.
She basically told my ex, if there's any further instances where you're not sticking to the agreement,
yeah,
then you will be held in contempt of court.
Yeah.
Now, contempt of court for that generally means a fine and 30 days in jail.
Yes.
For that, because she's been warned repeatedly, and I've, you know, I log everything, and I'm intent on making sure that if she does it again, she will be held to account for it.
Yeah.
When speaking to the lawyer following the last false kind of accusation against me, he said, there's not a great deal I can do to stop this until something happens. So the next time something happens, he's ready.
Yes.
And he'll, you know, and he'll use all the previous incidents and accusations as a case against her.
Yes.
He said, you can go down the route of getting an injunction against her.
Yes.
Almost like, what are they called when you're not supposed to, I forgot the name.
Non-molestation.
Non-molestation, yeah. A restraining order.
Yeah.
Those sort of things.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't think of the name.
That's all right.
Sorry. But he said, that'll cost you £4,000 to £5,000 to get that place.
Yes.
And he's like, but it's clear to me that this is sustained harassment.
Yes.
You know, what it's done to me, it's made me a bit more guarded, definitely, around people. I don't mind talking about this because I know I've not done a thing wrong.
Yes.
At any point. I'm completely the innocent party, and I think everyone's kind of aware of that now. It's just taken me a while for that to be the case.
Yes.
You know, because people don't believe half the stuff that you come out with and you tell them about it.
Yes.
Because it's so outlandish.
That's it, yeah.
There's no way.
Yep.
There's no way that you can be accused of that and not having done some. Even my mum and dad and my sister were like, what have you done now?
Yeah.
It's like, I've done absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And, even, you know, now they realise at what the lengths that she would go to.
Yeah.
And they've seen, but it's cost me a fortune.
Yes.
It's cost me my son almost.
Yeah.
It's cost me relationships.
Yes.
Because I'm under stress.
Yes.
Not so much now, but it's definitely, I'm kind of, how do I describe this? I'm very, very comfortable by myself.
Yes.
You know, I'm completely at ease in my own company. And, you know, that was partially the reason why, a relationship broke down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm perfectly happy here by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not as needing other people around.
Yes.
As much, I mean, I love being, I know I don't want to go into too much detail, obviously, but I know the impact has contributed.
Yes.
To it, because I maybe sometimes give the impression of, you know, being okay by myself.
Yeah.
And it's like very much a protection.
Yes. Yes.
It's a protection, sort of preservation, you know, of,
yeah,
I've been on edge for so long. And so used to having to deal with it by myself.
Yes.
Having to instruct lawyers what to say when I should be relying on them telling me what to do.
Yes.
I felt like I've dealt with it by myself, everything by myself. And it's kind of drained me.
Yes.
To be honest. And, you know, sometimes I do need a bit of a backseat. You know, I need to just, like, take a bit of a backseat and just sit down and be by myself.
Yes.
Because it is exhausting still. It's not impacting me as much anymore, but as I said, sometimes maybe I give the impression that I'm not really wanting to be around people.
Yeah.
As much, what I do, I just sometimes find it harder to show because I'm just protecting myself now.
Yes, well, it's still, it was recent. It's still very recent. And,
it's really raw.
Yeah.
Still raw.
And you were attacked on so many levels, you know, work, it got, you know, she got in. And this is, again, it's familiar. They go after you on every level and they try to take away your income, your well-being, your friends. And, you know, it's everywhere they can get you. They will go for it. And
it's horrible.
Yeah. So it's going to take some time.
It's so tiring.
Yes.
It's so tiring.
Yeah.
Like even last night, getting that message back 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why? I say black, she says white.
Yeah.
On everything, you know? And it's even by, to give great example, I mean, they're the perfect definition of keyboard warriors, right? I think, you know, you heard that phrase.
Yes.
People, you know, trolling on the internet, that sort of thing. They're the perfect definition of it, my ex's and her family. Great example, I went down to my son's sports day 2 weeks ago. So drove, took an afternoon off work, drove 2 hours to get down to see him because I want him to remember that I was there.
Yep.
You know, I go down for his parents' night. I drive 2 hours down for a 15-minute chat with his teacher.
Yep.
I'll get up at 6 to go into work in the office, and I'll leave the office, and then I'll drive another 2 hours to go down to see him in his school play, you know, and I'll drive 2 hours back.
Yep.
And I don't care.
Yep.
Like, I really don't care, but it's tiring.
Yes.
And, you know, I was down at sports day. Not one member of her family turned up to see him.
Yes.
Because I was there.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in them. I'm not going to be confrontational. Yeah. I'm not interested. I just want to see him.
Yeah.
And imagine, that's his last sports day at school.
Yeah.
He became sports champion at school. Mm. Like, he won 6 out of 7 races that was on in his primary 7 championship. I was so proud.
Yeah. He's going to remember that, you see. He'll know you were there.
And that's what I'm saying. Short-term pain, you know, for long-term gain. I know it sounds so cheesy, but that's all I can do.
And he'll remember those car journeys. He'll know. And when he starts work, he'll think back and he think, well, he said, my dad used to do a job and then he used to drive all that way just to see me. You know, kids aren't stupid and he's going to understand that.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Yes.
You know, because I miss him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was an incident on my daughter's school where the Christmas play, I said, you know, the mother wants to, it was my day to pick up my daughter and they had the school play on and, and I sort of said, well, what can we do here? You know, because I didn't want my daughter to be torn between who to run to or who to wave to or anything like that. And she just said, well, I'm going, you know, do what you like. I'm going. And so I didn't want my child in that situation. So I contacted the head teacher who I, you know, because of the situation, I'd had conversations with in the past and she was very, very understanding. Unfortunately, she left the school a few months later, but she said, look, she said, there's a rehearsal. She said, you come in on your own and you can see your daughter do the rehearsal, the free show. And I sat there in my daughter's face. I remember it as long as I lived, when she saw me there. And I had tears in my eyes. I was the only parent there. You know, teachers were there. And but I wouldn't put my daughter in that situation. But the ones who are aggressive, the parent who's the aggressor, they don't care about the child and the feelings or the impact. In fact, they probably look to capitalize on it. It's just absolutely horrific.
Yeah, completely. And what you said there, the school play.
Yeah.
No, this school, because there's so many separated parents, they have over two nights.
Right.
Right. And think, have everything over two nights, your parents' nights split over 2 days, you know. So the show went down. My son, the head teacher, deputy head, came up. Because I've messaged him, I've met him a couple of times. He's a really nice guy. He totally understands.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came up beforehand. He's like, oh, great to see you coming down for this. I think you're going to be really surprised. I was like, well, in a good way. He's just like, just wait and see.
Mm.
And my son was the lead guy in the school play, P7 school play. So P7, obviously, in Scotland, is the final primary before you go up to secondary school.
Yeah.
And he did a solo, and he was incredible.
Mm.
And he basically spent the first 2 or 3 minutes when he was there, and you know, on the stage, looking for me.
Yes.
And it was just, it's so nice to see that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. Again, it gets me every time. I can't help it.
Yeah. No, it's just being human. And this is the thing, you just cannot believe that the other party hasn't got that in them. But it's not.
And none of them were there to watch them.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It's, they may have gone the night before, but I know for a fact that only one of them went.
Yeah. But your son.
So this is.
Your son will know that you travel, how far you travelled, and that's, you know, the thing is as well, is they grow up so quickly. Before you know it, they're going to be teenagers, and they will know who is at fault.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that's so sad, because. Yeah. I always say to him, I was just like, anytime you want to come up, yep. You can come up.
Yeah.
Like, it's your choice, absolutely your choice. Last year, he's a huge football fan, loves football, plays for a local team, he's really good. I took him to Barcelona.
Okay.
Surprise.
Yeah.
For 4 days when I had him for a week last summer.
Mm.
And, he didn't know this at the time, but I'd managed to buy tickets off a website, because Barcelona were playing Monaco in a friendly at the Olympic Stadium on one of the nights that we were out there.
Yeah.
So I managed to get the tickets in the hotel, managed to get my stadium tour, and his mum took him away to Turkey for 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
Sorry, for a week before that on an all-inclusive. He didn't leave the hotel once. They just sunbathed.
Yes.
Right. This is a 10-year-old boy with bags of energy.
Yeah.
He didn't leave the hotel once.
Yeah.
Right. And I took him, and we did something different every day. We saw the big Sagrada Familia, the huge, you know, cathedral thing in the middle of Barcelona.
Yeah.
We did the aquarium. But he's been a Barcelona fan for years, because he's a massive fan of Messi.
Yes.
And I told him on the night that we arrived at the hotel, he was just like, are we going to go and see the ground? You know, you want to get, maybe see the stadium from the outside. And I showed him the tickets.
Yeah.
And he's just, I've never seen it, you know, never seen him so happy.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, things turned a little bit sour after he got back from that holiday.
Yes.
Because he didn't stop talking about how good it was.
Yeah.
And And there was like comments made, you know, just there was a bit of negativity. There was a bit of frostiness from the other side.
Yes.
You know, again, contact stopped for a month throughout September into mid-October.
Yeah.
You know, and more accusations came. And that was around about the time when the police visit. And these are the things that happen.
Yeah.
There's a big event coming up. She'll do something to stall it.
Yeah, I'm so familiar. I mean, even my daughter, I used to take her to drama school every other weekend, and because she was taken 3 hours away from me, and so I had used to do 6 hour round trips. For most of the time, the other party did not do any of the travel. She, in fact, as soon as she took my daughter, she gave up her driving license and her car to make me do all the traveling. And I mean, there can't be many people in Britain who've given up their driving license voluntarily, but I mean, but it's really is incredible. But anyway, so I used to take her to drama school near me, and at the end of each term they'd have a performance day, and you know, on the days where, on the weekends where that didn't fall on my weekends, you know, I would say to the other parent, you know, sometimes I would say, well, do you want to come? You know, we don't have to sit together. You know, just see her. Or do you want? Can we rearrange the weekend so that, you know, so that she can take part in the performance? Because, you know, she'd been there all term with her classmates, and it was no way. You know, so again, it's doing something that negatively impacts the child because of some sort of aggression or need to be aggressive. It's so common, isn't it? And
it's so common, and it's so unfair on the child.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, baffling to me why the courts don't do something about it.
Yes, yes.
It's so, I mean, in Scotland, don't know what it is in England and elsewhere, but in Scotland, parental alienation is not a criminal offence.
Yeah.
However, I have been reading up on this. I'm trying to educate myself as much as possible to arm myself in case anything comes back again.
Yeah.
Because I'm no doubt it will. But coercion is.
Yes.
Now, coercion is classed as a type of abuse.
Yes.
Now, you can read into that how you want, but I think the difficulty, I mean, you could prove parental alienation. The facts are there.
Yes.
For my case, you know, it's just like blocking contact, changing telephone numbers, you name it. You know, stopping them coming up the road, you know, to see me, etc.
Yeah.
But you can't really prove of coercion.
Yeah.
Especially not for a young child. Like he's, as I said, he's 11 now, but he was 9 when he left.
Yes.
And, or was he now? Yeah, he was then. But you can't prove that. A child doesn't know they're being coerced.
No.
As much as it pains me to say it, I know he's okay.
Yes.
I know they'll look after him. But I also know how they're being, because he tells me now.
Yes, yes.
But I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I took that to a court, they'd be like, he's been down there for 2 years.
Yes, yes.
This would just disrupt him even more.
Yeah.
If you were trying to do that. And all you're trying to do is to get justice for what's been done to you.
Yeah.
It's you're fighting a losing battle.
Yeah.
And it's all, as I said, it's always felt like that since day one.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for crumbs.
Yes.
I'm not going to get anything substantial from this at all. I will deal with it as much as I can. I will, thanks to that counsellor, I was able to reframe how I thought about the whole relationship with my son, which helped me mentally in a huge, huge way.
Yes.
Being able to not feel as, I mean, it's emotional now talking about it.
Yes, yes.
To not feel that it was the be all and end all.
Yes.
I know he's going to turn up. I know I'm going to see him every 2 weeks and half of his school holidays now.
Yes.
And I know he would probably, I know he would probably move up here if he could.
Yes.
Like, I really do feel that. I mean, I'll never talk to him about it because I wouldn't want to put pressure on somebody at that age.
Yes.
But I do feel that, you know, he would do that if there was a chance. But the amount of blocking that would go on at their end would be incredible.
Yes.
So as much as it hurts me, I'm happy with things as they are, because I'm not going to get any more.
Yeah.
And seeing how happy he is coming up here,
yeah,
and how comfortable he is coming up here makes me, I want.
Yeah.
You know, and I just have to take that.
Yeah. And he'll know as well in the end. He's, you know, people.
Yeah.
The older he gets, the more clear it will be. And
yeah,
he'll remember being grilled and, you know, and he'll remember the Barcelona trip and everything. And as you say, the comparisons.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. And I'm going away for a week. To a wee all-inclusive number for a week in a couple of weeks away off to the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
But I sort of said to him, I'm like, see, where are we going holiday? What do you want to do? And he said two things. He's like, I want there to be an outdoor swimming pool.
Yeah.
And I want there to be a football pitch. Okay, right, okay. This is going to be difficult. But I've managed to find an all-inclusive resort, which will be perfect for us.
Yeah.
That has a football pitch, and I told him about it when he was up a couple of weekends ago. But yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's I'm not happy, but I'm happy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, I think that's very good. I mean, what you said is about the counselling is something that's very important. And I need to do more of that myself, but I think also people just don't generally seek it out as much as they should. I know somebody else that it's helped a lot, and so perhaps I ought to cover on the podcast a little bit more.
I mean, I as I said, I didn't go often, but I found it just someone completely external of my situation, no skin in the game at all, just basically listening to what I was saying. I would, every time it would be an hour and a half, I would go for.
Yeah.
It wasn't overly expensive, and it was a counsellor, not a psychiatrist.
Yes, sure.
So it was somebody who wasn't really delving deep into my mind about anything, but very much just talked to me. And I would generally spend the first 20 minutes having a little rant about the situation I found myself in.
Yeah.
I would cry quite a lot because it all used to come out there. She was so good. She just listened.
Yeah.
And I would have a cry. And then she would be like, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Like, and it was... See, to hear somebody say things like that, going, you're actually doing really well.
Yeah.
Considering everything you just told me, you're looking after yourself, you're keeping fit, you're trying to, you know, you're working, your job's going well,
yeah,
you're in touch with your son, you're rebuilding that. It doesn't sound like the relationship's broken, and it sounds like you've managed to fight through the worst of it. And she put a positive spin on everything that I was doing.
Yeah.
And the confidence that gave me was unbelievable. And it was the confidence to go, it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
It's, there are so many positives about, you know, as I said before, I wouldn't change the way I did anything.
Yeah.
At any point. I maybe change the lawyer.
Yes.
At the start, but
yes,
you don't know that until you're actually coming out of it and realize how the process works. But the confidence she gave me to go, yeah, do you know what? You're not falling apart. It's like you'll get over this. You're still doing really well. Your work's going well. Your friends are there for you.
Yep.
You're keeping fit. You're looking after yourself. All of these positive things. And she says, just keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, she's not going to change.
No.
You know, like, simple as that. You just have to find a really good way of dealing with it. And, you know, some things I used to do as well. My lawyer became a bit annoying at the outset.
Yeah.
She would send me things on a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
They do a letter that. Received yeah. from the ex.
Yes.
And I would really piss me off over the weekend.
Yeah.
Ruin my weekend.
They do it. I don't know why. Yeah.
Oh, and I said to her quite early on, I said to her, I was like, I don't want you to send me anything on a Friday anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll deal with it on a Monday.
Yeah.
If you've not received anything from my ex by Thursday evening,
yep.
don't contact me till Monday.
Yeah.
And that was a big win
yes.
as well. Just that gave me some at least 3 days worth of headspace.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When I was able to just be and
yep.
be able to just process everything in my own way without getting another trigger,
yes,
you know, that would make me stressed or
yeah.
frustrated again, and that was a big one. The freedom of information request was a good one.
Yes,
I'm so glad I did that. The lawyer one that saved my weekends.
Yeah,
and the counselor, that would be my three really big tips.
Yes,
and also educate yourself as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
And document everything, like absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And that is that's a no-brainer.
Yes.
That's like, you have to document every interaction, every phone call, whether made or not made,
yes.
every visit, every comment that's been made in a you know, off-the-cuff manner.
Yes.
And that helped me so much. And you know, as you said, it's still early days. It's a couple of years down the line now, but
yeah.
I feel so much more on top of things.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm still not 100% there.
Yeah,
and you know that maybe take, you know, as I mentioned, like relationships and things like that. I'm maybe not 100%.
Yeah,
back to my old self. Still maybe a wee bit too guarded.
Yeah.
And that's a completely valid like self-criticism. And yeah, that's cost me a couple of, like, you know, not a couple, was especially in the last part of that's caused an issue there, just because I'm quite happy
yep.
here. And but that, again, that just comes to 18 months coming up, 2 years of exhaustion.
Yes.
And in fight or flight,
yep.
every day,
yeah,
every week, for months on end.
Yeah.
But I think that would be the main point I could kind of say. So
yeah, I mean it's quite. I hope. I mean, touch wood. As you say, these things, she's never going to change, and these things yeah. will crop up from time to time. She will do things, but it sounds like the police know the score now. It sounds like
very much so.
The courts know the score, and they have understood, and they've told her basically not to keep going a merry-go-round with this same behavior.
Yeah.
So that's very social good
services.
Yeah,
social services as well.
Yeah,
you know, basically said, you know, there is nothing to investigate here.
Yes,
at
yes.
all. She tried so hard.
Yes.
You know, and I thought that I actually made the point that it was more detrimental
yes.
for somebody from social services to be sitting with my son in yes. his class
yes.
at school.
Yes, yes.
For his development and his whole psyche.
Yes, 100%.
And I made the point to them to go, this isn't good.
Yes.
Social services, you don't get them involved.
No.
If there's nothing there.
No.
You know, it's like, because that could backfire on her.
Yeah,
you know, because like I kept making the point to them to say, it's not me. You should be investigating.
Yes,
here's all the proof. Here's all the missed contacts. Here's all the refusal to bring them to contact. And here's the refusal to call. And here's me sitting at the other end, getting accused of this, that, and everything, and all of it being like binned.
Yes.
Because it's all nonsense. I was like, who's the one that should be getting investigated?
Yes. Yes. That's a good question.
They took that on board.
Yeah.
And I just said, like, I'm happy to speak to you about whatever you want to do. And I said that to the police. I said that to the school. I said that to social services. If there's anything you need, just call me.
Yeah.
I'm available to speak to you whenever you need to.
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, I made it very clear. All I'm concerned about is the development of my son.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel it's been negatively affected.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and as a result of this, and I'm so determined that it won't be going forward.
Yeah.
So if you can suggest any people he can speak to, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of gave, I wasn't antagonistic. I wasn't defensive.
Yeah.
It was very much, I'll work with you.
Yeah,
I've got nothing to hide here.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, just call me about anything.
Yeah.
And even the police, after the time they came to visit me last September,
yeah,
they were just like, look, it's so clear to us, and they probably shouldn't have said this, but they're like, it's so clear to us that they're trying to throw every single bit of mud at you that they can.
Yes.
In the hope that something's going to stick.
Yes.
And that's, she said, and I just said, I know that's what they're doing, but surely you guys must have a way to kind of hammer away when she comes in with a complaint.
Yeah.
And I just said, it's getting ridiculous. It's like,
yes.
There was an incident last October where I witnessed a dog attack in the middle of my little town.
Yep.
And I called it in. So I was driving past and I called it in. It was one of these XL bully staffy, big, vicious thing attacked and killed another dog in the main street in my local town.
Yeah.
And I phoned it in.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call about a week later, excuse me, from the police to say, would you like to come in? They'd like you to come in and give a statement. I was like, absolutely. And I turned up at the door.
Yeah.
This is so surreal. I turned up at the door. It's like, hi, Chris, how are you getting there? I'm just like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
But they came in and the guy, they were well aware of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, they were speaking to me like I was like a friend.
Yes.
You know, and they were asking me, so once I'd given the statement about the dog attack, etc., they were like, how are you getting on?
Yeah.
Any more updates on it? I'm just like, well, no, I've not heard anything yet. Yeah. But as you guys know, I'm sure there'll be something in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, I hope everything kind of works out for you.
Yes.
I'm just like, well, I'm trying my best, yeah. But, you know, they know.
Yes.
No, they know they're not dealing with somebody who's going to cause them bother or cause anyone else bother.
Yes.
It's all I, you know, and I think I was so consistent with my message throughout the whole thing, which was, I just want to see my son.
Yeah.
And I just want the contact order to be stuck to.
Yes.
It's not rocket science. It's not a difficult contact order.
Yeah.
Arrange phone calls twice a week and bring him up to see me every other weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Straightforward.
Yeah.
But God, was it difficult.
Yeah.
But,
so the other party brings the boy to you, your son to you?
Yes. Okay. So basically what happens is, because we live 2 hours away from each other,
yeah,
I made a suggestion that one of the very first court hearings we had,
yeah,
I said, I'm happy to drive halfway.
Yes.
And I suggested, that was the only proactive thing I was able to do, I suggested a hotel car park halfway between her and me.
Yeah.
So fine for me. An hour's drive.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Nope.
For her, I know it's a complete pain in the neck.
Yeah.
You know? But the sheriff was just like, yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Any objections? Yeah. And there was no objections, and that was that.
Yeah.
So we meet halfway, but poor wee guy, he's got a 2 hour drive every Friday night and every Sunday afternoon.
Yes, yes.
So I do feel sorry for him. I know he misses out on football matches for his team every other weekend, but he never complains.
But he's got that, this is the thing, he's got that time and that other situation with you and the you know, environment, friends that he sees with you that he works. Yeah. So it's almost like an extra bit thing for him, you know.
He's incredibly resilient.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really proud of him, incredibly proud of him.
Yeah.
I've tried to keep this house as the stable place, the secure place.
Yeah.
Nothing's manic. He comes up, he relaxes. Yeah. And one of the first things I did was get him an Xbox, because I know he's massively into that.
Yeah.
So when he comes up, he's able to speak to his buddies from not just up here with me, but also down there with us, you know, so he's not missing out on anything his friends are doing.
Yes.
And that was a big win. And, you know, he now asks when he's up for the weekend, he asks me to come up and sit with him when he's playing.
Yeah.
So he just, not to talk to him, but just to be
yes.
there.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all the ups and downs, he wouldn't have seen half of it, and I'm so pleased that he hasn't.
Yes.
But, you know, it makes everything worthwhile.
Yeah.
And it really does.
Yeah.
Makes the... I mean, I never really get up or down about a situation. I'm never overly happy when I'm happy. I'm never overly sad when I'm sad. But there has been times when I've been, what do I do? Where do I go now? And that's quite worrying for me. You know, that was worrying for me. Now I don't have that.
Yeah.
I'm happy. He's happy. She's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, she still hasn't. And until he's kind of out of that, I won't be completely happy.
Yes.
But yeah. I think I've done well. I'm pleased with what I've done. I wouldn't change a thing that I've done. And the outcome is as good as I could have got, considering what may have happened.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yeah. No, I think you did really, really well. And it seemed pre-planned what happened. And everything, you know, all the usual tactics were done. You know, you were investigated by multiple authorities, same as me, same as lots of
people.
It's almost like there's a book going around that they just get on Amazon and, page one, you know, chapter one, do this. But you come through it and you've got a great result. Your son, I'm sure he's counting down the hours each week or every fortnight when he sees you, and he obviously is with the holidays, you know, and you've got that bond from even before all this happened, where you were coaching him with football, and so
everything.
And then now you've taken him to Barcelona, and so I think that the bond is there. It's not going to be disrupted now. Especially the age he is, I think that's not gonna be disrupted, and if anything, maybe the more things they do, it might just become more and more obvious to him what's going on at that age. That, you know, they're very, very clued up at 11, I would say. So I think you've done really, really well.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it. It's so nice to hear. You know, it's just, I know from somebody in a situation not completely dissimilar to mine, it's tough. It really gets you because it's so emotional, because it's your child.
Yes.
And when my son comes up, I've been so conscious at not bringing and not talking about it unless he asks me first.
Yep.
And I've always said to him, you can ask me anything you want about anything. You'll never get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they tell them I'll shout at them.
Yeah.
They'll tell them I'm getting really angry if I do it.
Yeah.
And say, I'll never, ever get angry at you for asking me a question.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I always say, but like, you can ask me anything, you know, it's like, and I will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, the one of the most heartbreaking things that I had to say to him, one time he was asking whether his sister, it's like, well, it was my stepdaughter.
Yes.
His sister was mine. And I said, no, well, she's actually got a different dad to you. And then he's just like, are you my dad?
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be, no one else is going to be your dad. I'm always your dad.
Yeah.
That's it. And then he started asking about his sister. I was like, well, no, you better ask. That's not one for me to answer.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with that because that's just ammunition for them.
Yes.
But I've always said, we don't have to talk about anything if you don't want to. I'm just happy with the fact that you're coming up.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we'll do something nice when you're up. That's it.
Yeah.
And I know the questions will come. I know he still gets it in the ear about various things.
Yes.
Because he'll see things, as I mentioned, about like the cooking, for example.
Yes, yes.
It's all negativity at that end.
Yeah. But
I that doesn't bother me anymore. But I log it all.
Yes.
Just in case if it ever comes up again. I have an A4 pad of evidence.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's sad that it has to get to that stage.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like that with anyone.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to kind of get on with life and be happy and content, and everyone's got their own issues and battles that they need to get on with. I don't care. You know, as long as my lot are happy, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I've never felt injustice like it,
yes.
You know, or seen, you know, yeah, it's mine and yeah, it's kind of mine. I just feel like I've just been deprived of so much with my son.
Yes, yes.
And that's kind of tricky.
This is the crazy thing about family court. There's no, it doesn't behave like a court should, and it's in a justice system where there's no justice. Often it's, you know, you turn up with evidence and they don't look at it, they don't, you know, ignore it.
Yeah.
And you think, why is this even called a court? You know, it's so bizarre.
And your lawyer doesn't tell you what they want to see.
No. Yeah.
That's the thing. The lawyer, I was just like, you need to inform me what's going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of these terms are.
Yes.
I don't know what any of the things that you're thinking is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You need to kind of tell me about it.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
And if somebody sends me something in writing where I can go, give me a breakdown of what this option is and what that option is in normal terms.
Yeah.
I'll look through it and I'll understand it. I know I will, because it's not all rocket science, you know. It's just the terms used, you name it. It's all just...
Yeah.
But I was never told, this is just a scheduled meeting. It's like, what does that mean? Or a scheduled appearance, or this is just a temporary order. It's like, what for? You know, I wouldn't know what the strategy was.
Yeah.
And that, if I'd known that, not that I wanted to control what was going on, but I just wanted to know.
Yes.
You know, what am I doing here? Or, you know, and I was never told.
They know this because they go through it with so many people, and it's just negligence, really. I mean, it's like even what you mentioned about the Friday evening. Now, we know that the other party will target Friday evening. They'll send something on the Friday evening, and their lawyers should really not get involved in something that disgusting, but they do. It's, you know, aggression is the watchword. The lawyers love it, a lot of them. But your lawyer has probably seen this 100 times without, and what you would expect a lawyer to say things like, at the outset, they might say, now, this is likely to happen. You're likely to get something nasty on the old Friday. Do you want me to hold it over till the Monday? And that would be something they should ask every person, because they've seen it 100 times. But I hadn't thought of it until you brought it up. And it's, why don't they do that? You know, why do they leave it until you've been disrupted a few times?
Exactly. And a friend of mine who went through not similar, but like dealing with lawyers for a family situation.
Yeah.
It was them that suggested it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because that suddenly clears my head completely for the weekend.
Yes.
And I don't have to think about it more than normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get angry. It's not going to spoil plans.
Yeah.
But the other one was, I had no idea about costs.
Yes.
Like, honestly, it's when it's emotive, you're emailing the lawyer, you're sending them this and that. They charge you for reading a document.
They
charge you for drafting an email.
Yep.
They charge you for reading an email.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I mean, after about a month, I'm like, my God, the contact was so frequent.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to send me a monthly update.
Yes.
Of the charge, because it spirals out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, this friend of mine said, I think their lawyer was fantastic by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Their lawyer was just like, very much like, look, this is what we charge you for.
Yeah.
I suggest what we do is this approach because it's going to cost you less.
Yeah.
And it means you're going to have less frequent court hearings. We'll do this in one go and there'll be one charge applied to it.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do this because, like, at the end of the day, we're not going to go. My lawyer was quite up for doing the back and forward contact with the other lawyer.
Yes, yes.
Happy as Larry to do that
because
they're getting paid an absolute fortune to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not aware of that.
Mm. Yeah, it's disgusting, really, the way they do that. So they know it's your child. You'll pay anything, and
they milk it.
Yes,
they completely milk it.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say that was so disappointing.
Yeah.
From my point of view, to realize that was how it was done. I mean, I had no idea. I just thought, this is just normal.
Yeah.
You know, this is how they do things. But they should be going, right, no more contact. We've sent you two letters about this. We're not going to send you anymore.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do anything else. Whereas my lawyer was like, if I've not heard from Monday, I'll send them a chase.
Yes.
If I've not heard by Friday, I'll chase them another one. We need to get this done and moved on.
Yes.
They're caught every time you do it.
Yeah.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. Yeah. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But you don't know that.
No.
You just want it done.
Yeah.
Don't
you? Yeah. Yes.
I think, again, badly advised in that approach. But.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with you rarely see anyone in family law, you know, barristers or solicitors, you hardly ever see them campaigning to change it.
No.
And also, if you go into, say, criminal law, say murder, you've got basically a murder trial. You've got maybe an appeal. That's it. You've family law. You can have a case going on 18 years, and it's. I've been told that in America, it's the family law industry is $50 billion a year. I mean, that's almost $1 billion a week. I read recently.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I read recently in Britain it's about $2 billion, but that's an awful lot of money for solicitors to do the same old thing badly.
Yeah,
a lot of them. There's some good ones, but most of them are not.
There's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. There's not many of them that are that known.
No.
You know, it's easy money for a law firm to pick up a family dispute.
Yes. Yes.
Because people are going to argue to the hilt, as you said, because there's children involved.
Yeah.
And it's emotive, and they know it's. I had to sleep on it.
Yeah.
Make myself sleep on it when I got a response back from their solicitor.
Yeah.
Or my solicitor. I'm just like, I'm not going to deal with it now. I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Once I've had a sleep and once I'm feeling a little bit more like it.
Yeah.
But it was actually a friend of mine he wasn't in the same situation, but he said, "Oh, what about Fathers for Justice?"
Yeah.
And like, I kid you not, they do a great job.
Yeah.
And they charge a single load, $6,000 or $7,000.
Yes.
And that's you all in. Yeah. They'll represent you in court. They'll do everything for you. Yeah, they're a bit off the wall and a bit different to your usual solicitors, but that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You've got somebody who's been through it, and it'll cost you so much less.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sounds like they know how to do these things.
Right.
And if I wish I'd known that at the time. And, you know, I started following them, and they are very good.
Yeah.
They say a lot of sensible things, and they do consultations, and they do one-off consultations. You should check their website out, even for something to mention in the future, because they do consultations. They'll agree to look over your documents. They'll agree to do things, but they'll also agree to represent you.
Uh-huh. That's good. Yeah.
And it's something a bit different that I'd never thought about.
But, yes, that's interesting.
You know, too late for me now, but these are the ones that dress up as Batman and clank commons and stuff like that. But they're really effective. Really effective.
And, yeah.
You know, that's, you kind of want that, because it sounds like the guy's been through it.
Yes.
You know, the guy's in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you're like,
that's interesting. Yes, that's interesting. You know, that's good for listeners to hear about.
Yeah. You know, as I said, I'm not doing this for me, you know. I kind of feel that there's a massive injustice in the whole system.
Yeah.
I've been at the brunt of it. You're in the forefront of it as well, you know. It's like we're getting absolutely battered. And at the end of the day, all you want is a relationship with your child.
Yeah.
And there's so many obstacles that they seem to be putting up.
Yes.
That are so pro the mother. And that's not being sexist saying that. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
The mum is automatically the person best suited to look after the child. When that's not the case.
Well, in your case, you said that you had sort of 95% of the care when before all this happened. Oh. You were doing most of the home.
I did breakfast.
Yeah.
I made his breakfast in the morning. I woke him up in the morning. I did the whole house breakfast.
Yeah.
I made his packed lunch for school. I walked him to school and back most mornings, bar maybe one or two every now and again. I picked him up from school in the afternoon. I had a job where I could work from home.
Yeah.
So I made a point of always being there for him and picking him up from the school. I took him to football. I coached his football team because I used to go and watch him train all the time. I would stay for the whole hour and a half. I then became a coach. So I was doing his football team with him in it every Monday, Wednesday, and then games on Saturday and sometimes Sunday. A huge time commitment.
Yeah.
But I loved it. Yeah. I would take him swimming on a Friday afternoon. Sometimes she would come. She never turned up to any of his football matches until maybe about 7 or 8 months before the separation.
Yeah.
I did have a go at her. I just said, she's like, that's your thing. It's just like, he doesn't want it to me, mate.
Yes, yes.
You've never, in the 3 or 4 years he's been playing football, you've never been to one match.
Mm.
He plays every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, I'm not seeing it for my benefit.
Yes.
I'm seeing it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a parent, you want to go to everything your child does and support them.
Yeah.
It's a parental thing. And she made no effort. Mm. And then towards the end, before the separation, she started doing the swimming lunch. She started going to football, but then insisting that he came back in the car with her after the football.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't travel with us to the football. She would turn up halfway through the game and then give him a lift home.
Hmm.
So there was this I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just the fact that you had to tell them that that was what you should do as a parent.
Yes.
And I think it comes, actually, I'm going to be sexist now. I think it comes naturally to a dad to be there.
Yeah.
And to do the activities and to want to be there. They're the more active one, I think, of the parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly noticed that with my, she would want to lie in. She never really wanted to get out of bed, you know, she would, all this stuff. And I'd be like, no, I'm going to get up. I like waking them up in the morning. Yes. I like being the first person he sees.
Yes.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Get a big cuddle from his dad, and then there's whatever it is you're having for breakfast.
Yeah.
And, you know, get ready for school. I'll put all his clothes out. I don't get any of that now.
Yes.
You know, and it's a big, for me anyway, it's a huge thing.
Yes.
I miss that so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm missing out on the best years just now.
It's hard to know, really, because I think it, I don't know, because you've had the early years and you it sounds like you're going to have a lot of the later years.
I love the positive spin you're putting on this.
Well, I mean,
it's just, yeah.
I've stopped seeing my daughter at 2 months, and you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, she's just a baby, you know, it's the later years, but it killed me not to see. And I used to wake up at night hearing a baby scream, and it was obviously nobody there. I just didn't know if she was well or not. It just, and in some ways, when they're older, you kind of think, well, if there's anything wrong, they can call you. At least they can tell you. You know, as a baby, it's they can't. And I mean, there's pros and cons. Although I suppose it's different for the children and the parents. But it destroyed me not seeing my child for the first few years. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future. We've both got a good chance that when they become, you know, teens and adults, that they are going to know the truth. They're going to work it out and know. And I think we'll be, you know, that's going to pay dividends, the fact that we aren't the aggressors when in later years. So yeah, I know. I think you are I see what you mean. I do see what you mean, but
I think
it's pluses too. It's
been so much for them.
Yeah,
and I could see him developing as a wee boy into a young man, you know. Even now I see him, I'm just like, wow, you're coming on, you're doing brilliant. And I'm like, I did a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you know, yeah.
I mean, I had one podcast with Dr. Marnie Hill Fodorero. I remember one of the early ones, and she was fantastic. And she got alienated from her children when they were in their 20s. Yeah. And
right, okay.
I just didn't know that could happen, but it does happen. And so she'd been through all the teens and the young, you know, toddler and everything, and it still happened to her.
It's crazy. It's so pointless.
Yes.
It's just, I think it reflects so badly on the alienator.
Yes.
You know, it really does. And it kind of needs, you know, I said to my son, you know, just ask me anything you want.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you who's right or wrong, because I know your mum tells you things that I know I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And I know it's not true. But I don't want to tell you that. I want you to be able to decide yourself.
Yeah.
And I want you to be able to come to your own conclusions, because, like, you're not stupid, you're a clever wee boy.
Yes.
But I want you to be able to feel that you can ask questions. And if there's anything you thought about that your mum said or if I say, ask me, because you're only in trouble.
Yeah.
But you should be kind of questioning things. It's a really important skill for when you're growing older.
Yes.
Question things. Does that sound right? Do I agree with that? And, you know, all these things. Sorry, I'm just winding the table.
That's right.
For the charger. But I think it's so important because I'm trying to instill little life skills.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I see him.
Yeah.
I know she's not.
Yes.
She doesn't do that.
No.
You know, she's somebody that goes with the heart.
Yeah.
Not with the head. So there's no logic to decisions. It's all very how she's feeling at the time.
Yes.
Whereas I'm very much a, everything I do is considered, I think. Every move I've made, you know, in terms of the legal side of it and going through the legal process, that's why I don't regret anything that I've done, because I've thought it through. I've been really kind of careful how I'm going to do things and what I've achieved, I think. And I think that's, I want him to be able to do that as well.
Yes.
He gets older, to kind of go, listen to what people say, take it in, but you don't have to believe it.
Yes.
You know, make your own mind up. You know, you're not daft. You know, you're a clever wee boy. Some things will make more sense than others. And, you know, questioning is so important. It's such an important skill.
Yes.
So, and, you know, if you're able to do that, then you'll probably come out of it and go, wait a minute.
Yes.
That was all right.
Yeah.
You know? You know, dad really wasn't the angry, volatile, violent man that he was made out to be.
Yes.
Because every time I went to see him, he never got angry once.
Yeah.
And I think over time he's realizing that.
Yeah. Oh, he will, I'm sure.
It's just crap that I'm not able to see him all the time.
Yes.
I'll never forgive her for that.
Yeah.
I can't forgive her for what she's tried to do.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not the sort of person that's going to go down there knock on her door and beat her up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or worse.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I'm just glad that I'm rid of her.
Well, that's the thing. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the best way to look at it. That she can't. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it sounds like as we said, you know, the authorities know what she's doing, and she's going to lose. She's going to see more and more ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing; they're well aware now that not to take her seriously, pretty much.
Yeah,
but the fact is, I still find it bonkers that they took her seriously in the first place.
Yes.
Imagine going in.
Yeah,
imagine as a man.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that situation. Imagine going into the police station. My ex-wife just pushed past me.
Yes.
Into her room.
Yes. Yeah.
It really hurt. It made me feel really really threatened.
Yes.
Imagine what the police would do. They'd be like,
"Yeah,
get out."
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was. Unfortunately, it's
here.
It's what works, and they know it. So these alienators, be they men or women, they know the rule book and or the playbook.
Yeah.
You're right. If it didn't work, if these things changed and that didn't work and people actually got prosecuted for false allegations, then, I mean, I know they do sometimes, but really the police should be doing it a lot more. And if that happened, then it would get a lot better for children countrywide, you know.
Well, absolutely. And it doesn't take much for them to go, okay, what evidence have you got?
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, for them to go, wait a minute, that happened how long ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you live with them until when?
Yes. Yes. It's crazy.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, for me, it's like happened 7 years previously.
Yeah.
And they lived with me up until 3 days before that.
Yes. Yeah, it's just,
and they never went in to complain at any point. Surely the alarm bells, you mean, coppers, they're not renowned for being the most intelligent, but surely they would go, I don't think so, love.
Yeah,
you know, off you go.
Yes,
off you trot.
Yeah,
you know, but it's all male dominated domestic abuse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So like, oh wait a minute, we've got a case here.
Yeah.
This guy could be a danger.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, she's the danger.
Yes, yes.
You know? But until that happens, you know, if it ever happens.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just be doing the same thing, having the same conversations with different people.
Yes. Well, hopefully it will change for our children. That's what we want at the very least, that they don't have to go through it.
Well, do you know when you say that? And then there's such a victim culture these days. Everyone's offended by everything these days.
Even
if it's got nothing to do with them.
Yes.
And that's the culture in these days. People are not, I feel offended, I feel threatened. Like, what? Grow up here. Man up, for goodness sake. You know, it's just like, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, and I find the whole, people need to be able to take accountability for their actions. That's being an adult. And you're getting this generation that's grown up now. Who seem to be immune to criticism. Immune to, who don't want to be offended to, or want to be offended by everything. And until that changes, you're going to get more of these. I don't know. But I mean, you know, it's always nice to speak about these things. I mean, it really is. It's quite kind of, you know, I still get the frustrations. During the week, I still get the odd moment when I get upset. In the house. When I see something or watch something. It triggers something, and it's, you know, it still gets to me. And, you know, it's my son, so it's always going to get to me. But it's, you know, it is a trauma. It's traumatic going through these things. And, you know, you just have to take the wins when they come. You know, deal with the up days, enjoy the up days when they come, and, you know how to deal with a down day. You know, there was many days where I just basically, I was just done. I was tired. I was exhausted. I couldn't think straight, as in I would just go to bed. And you're talking like 7:30 at night, or I'd take myself out for a big walk for 2 hours. Being able to deal with the down days. That really helps you deal with the good days.
Well, thanks very much for coming on. Anyway, it's been, I think we're nearly 3 hours. Covered a lot of ground, and I really appreciate you come up with some really good points that I think will help the listeners. I just hope that one day this podcast has to close, because we haven't got any more stories like this, and things have changed. That's what you want, really. But we'll see.
And thank you for your time as well. You know, it's been nice speaking to you about it, and I hope, it's kind of bringing up some bad memories, but also I'm hoping that, you know, some things that I've said will be helpful to someone else, or
they will,
or to and I hope, you know, it's not all bad. You know, it's like, it's worth fighting. It's worth being on your guard. You know, expect the ups, expect the downs.
But,
you know, it's just stay positive.
I mean, I get contacted offline by people who say that they enjoyed this episode, that episode, and it just helps. It helps people not feel so alone. Because you can walk. You mentioned doing your job, and the thing is, you can go to work and you've got all of this going on, and you just think it's in a parallel universe. You sort of think, well, does nobody else in this office or in my personal life, do they not realize what system is operating in this country? It's almost like you've had your eyes opened about what's, and you just like, nobody, why isn't anyone talking about this? But
You know, as I mentioned, I work for a prestigious company. It's a private bank that's been in this country for 300-400 years, right? It's pretty well known. And I've sat with people, they've been incredibly supportive. Like, any time off I need, the police coming in, I'm on the phone to them straight away to say, you wouldn't believe what's just happened. And they're like, again, I'm just like, aha, what this time? I'm just like, the one about the Sainsbury's card, the card. They were just like, are you serious?
So thanks very much for coming on the show. I think it's been really good. We covered a lot of ground. I think the listeners will get a lot of benefit from listening to your story.
I hope so. It's been helpful for me as well, to be honest.
Well,
I just hope that some of what I've said will resonate with people.
Yeah.
Give them maybe a wee tip or a hint at some point.
I'm sure it will. Okay, well, keep in touch. And if you want to come on and update us with your story at some point, that would be great. In the meantime, I just say thanks again and take care, James.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much to James for recording these three episodes. It's so important that we get our stories out, and his story is an important one. I hope you've learnt a lot. Thanks very much to James for sharing. And wherever you are on your parenting journey, best wishes and bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.